Well, on Sunday, we talked about Jesus entering Jerusalem as the promised, peaceful Savior King. And all those things were true of him, we saw, just not quite how the people expected them to be. Right? They knew that the Messiah would be the one to save them, the one that would set them free from oppression, that would deliver them from their oppressors and restore Israel. Because of what they had in their mind, they imagined this powerful, strong, mighty military or political leader. They had no concept of a suffering king, right? And so as a result of that, they missed some of the prophecies about the Messiah and who he would be. And so this morning, we're going to reflect on one of those, and it's Isaiah 53. And so I'm going to read the whole thing for you, and as I read it, I just want you to listen. And I specifically want you to listen for this. I want you to listen to what happens to the servant in these verses. And a lot of them are going to be echoes of what you heard in the story of Jesus going to the cross. So listen to what happens in Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him, no appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him. Yet he himself bore our sicknesses, and he carried our pains. But we, in turn, regarded him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We have all turned to our own way. For the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before her shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was taken away because of oppression and judgment, and who considered his fate? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For he was struck because of my people's rebellion. He was assigned a grave with the wicked. But he was with a rich man at his death because he had done no violence and had not spoken deceitfully. Yet the Lord was pleased to crush him severely. When you make him a guilt offering, he will see his seed. He will prolong his days. And by his hand, the Lord's pleasure will be accomplished. After his anguish, he will see light and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will carry their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him the many as a portion, and he will receive the mighty as spoil, because he willingly submitted to death. And he was counted among the rebels. Yet he bore the sin of many, and he interceded for the rebels. As we read through that, right, the servant was pierced. He was crushed. He was rejected. He was despised. He was punished. He was oppressed, afflicted, cut off from the living, struck and crushed severely. Right? It's not a pretty picture of the things that were going to happen to him. And the road to the cross included all of these things. Right? Jesus was mocked. He was spit on. He was rejected. He was struck. He was flogged. He was pierced. When I was a kid and I was growing up, a medical journal put out an issue where they kind of did medically what would happen to you during the crucifixion. And as our pastor was reading this, it was so intense and so much that somebody in the crowd actually passed out just from hearing what happened. Right? This was an intense, brutal way to die. But Jesus went through all of that. right? He is the suffering servant. But the real question is, why? Why did he go through all of that? Why did he do that? So why did Jesus go through all of these things? And it tells us in this, he said he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was punished for our iniquity. He was struck for our rebellion. It was what we did that put him through that. Right? The song we just sang was How Deep the Father's Love for Us, and there's a line in there, and only about half the time can I even sing it. Right? The line that says, it was my sin that held him there. Right? It's what I did. That's why he was on the cross. Because of my rebellion, because I want my own way, because I trust in other things besides him, because sometimes I try to replace him and I want to be God. I want to decide what's right. I want to decide what I'm supposed to do. I want to be in charge. It was because of me, right? And not just me, but because of all of us, right? He laid on him the iniquity of us all. We are all included in this. We have all turned away. It's the sins of all of us. And yes, this is sort of a heavy message, like kind of how it is, but I don't want us to be overwhelmed by guilt or by shame, either because of what you've done or how many times you've messed up or any of that, because there's something bigger at work happening on this day. And you kind of heard it as we read through the story. It would say almost every section, so that it was fulfilled, right? So that it was fulfilled. This happened, so it was fulfilled. But then we find this verse towards the end. The Lord was pleased to crush him severely, right? And for us, when we hear the word pleased, it sort of makes it sound like God was happy that he did this. He was happy to send Jesus to die. But that's not really what this means. The word kind of has this connotation of will. It was God's will for him to do this. It was God's will for Jesus to die for us. It was his plan. It was good that Jesus died for us because it fully accomplished God's purpose and his plan for us. It wasn't a last minute decision. It wasn't like God looked out at the people and said, oh no. They're doing it again. I don't think they're going to figure it out. What are we going to do about it? Let's make up a plan and enact it. No, this was the plan all along. It was his plan to redeem us. He knew how things would go. He knew what we would choose. And he knew that this was the only permanent solution to our problem of sin and rebellion. The only way to achieve a decisive victory over sin and over death. And Jesus knew this as well when he went to the cross, which brings us to another verse that we see in here. And it says, he willingly submitted to death. He willingly did it. Jesus wasn't forced. He wasn't set up and tricked. He knew exactly what he came to do, and he came anyways. He came in humility, serving the will of the Father, no matter what that meant. At the beginning of his ministry, when Satan offers him a shortcut in the wilderness, he turns him down 3 times. When he prayed in the garden, God, if there's another way to accomplish this, let's do that instead. But it's your will, not mine. Right? And so he followed God's will to the letter until the fullness of God's will was accomplished through his sacrifice in our place on the cross. But really, that's the good news on what seems like a very dark day. Because we see sprinkled throughout the benefits that come because of the suffering servant, because of what Jesus did. It tells us he bore the sins of many. Yes, he bore my sins on the cross. He bore your sins on the cross. He took those on himself. He took my punishment so that I could be reconciled with God. He was the punished for our peace. Because of what Jesus did, we obtained peace with God. We obtained peace within ourselves. We obtained peace with each other because of what he did for us on the cross. It tells us the righteous servant will justify many, meaning we are declared innocent because of him. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many times you've done it. It doesn't matter how many times you've made a mistake or messed up or strayed and come back. It doesn't matter. Because of Jesus, we are declared innocent. Jesus takes his innocence and his righteousness and he puts it on us. So that when God looks at us, he sees innocent, righteous, holy people because of what Jesus has done for us. He absorbs God's judgment on our behalf so that we can be free and clear. And it tells us that by his wounds we are healed. Our brokenness was made whole. Our wounds were healed. Our emptiness was filled. Our guilt was covered. We are made new because of him, because of what he did on the cross. And as it ends, it tells us this: he interceded for the rebels. In case it wasn't clear, we're the rebels, right? We're the ones who did that. But even now in our rebellion, still sometimes, even though we've given our life to him and trust in him, even when we've done that, we still have a little bit of that rebel in us and we still want to go our own way. But he intercedes for us. He speaks to God on our behalf. He reminds God that we are with Jesus. His righteousness is our righteousness. His plan includes us. We are innocent. We are forgiven. We are God's children because of the suffering servant, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so this day is good because it demonstrates God's great love for us. Right? The fullness of everything that he endured so that we could have life. Let's pray. God, we come before you and we thank you that you are a God who loves, that you are a God who cares, that you are a God who sacrifices, which is unique to our faith, to what we believe, that you are a God who comes for us, who makes amends for us. And in that, you demonstrated the fullness of your love in sending your son to the cross to die for us, to take our punishment, to die in our place so that we could be reconciled, so that we could be healed, so that we could have peace. And God, as we reflect on that over the next 24 to 36 hours, just all that you have done for us, that we would be moved to confess, that we would be moved to repent, but that we would also trust in your forgiveness, that you did bear our sins, you took the pain away. Our iniquity is gone and we can be declared righteous and innocent in you. So God, help us to see you fully, to trust in you fully in your work on the cross. It's in your name we pray. Amen.